Mike gives us a moment to consider the world that we live in. Maybe you've noticed, maybe it's just me, but it seems the world's gotten quite a bit ruder over the years. At least I've noticed it over my lifetime. Things that would normally be considered common courtesy is really not that common anymore. Rudeness is glorified on television, on movies, little video clips. In fact, you would think the only way to get somebody to laugh is to be crude. And I realize the standards for polite behavior change over the years. The things that were expected during, say, the 1700s or 1800s are not the same standards we have today. But people seem to pursue the impolite just because they can. And disrespect is not, by the way, a modern problem. It is something that has plagued people from the dawn of time. We go back to Lamentations in ancient Israel. Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 12. Lamentations chapter 5. Look at verse 12. It says, princes were hung by their hands, elders were not respected. They got to the point where they didn't respect their leaders. They did not respect those who were older. As one of the downfalls of Israel. In describing the decay of the Gentile society in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 30. There's a long list that starts earlier, but it says slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. There's some interesting words in there. It says that people were insolent, or maybe your particular translation might say despiteful. It literally means insulting. They were haughty. They were arrogant, boasters. This is one of the reasons the Gentile society fell apart, was because of their lack of manners. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting with verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 3. Again, there's a list of what happens in the later times when things fall apart. It says they're unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Again, a description of the last days, and we learn people are hostile to various virtues that should be honored among people. Now, rudeness is not ever going to disappear. But Christians have to work to stem that tide. We're the lights that are shining out in a dark world. We're supposed to be different from the rest of the world. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 15. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights to the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have reason to give glory, that I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Christians are to basically leave the world behind and show people where they ought to go and how they ought to behave. Over in John chapter 15, John 15 and verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. We should be different. We should be something that stands out that other people ought to want to model and say, that's the way I would like to be. Or maybe this is the way I want my children to be. We're different because we stand out doing the right thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 8, Ephesians 5 verse 8, it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them." Now, what I'm trying to get across is that we are to be different. And one of the ways we are different is how we behave towards others. In the way that we act. In the way that we talk. How we treat other people. There's an interesting passage. You may not have thought of it in this manner, but take a look at Romans chapter 13. The early part of Romans 13 talks about how we treat our government. But in Romans 13 verse 7, it says, "Render to all what is due to them. Taxes to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Now, taxes are tribute. Those are those personal or property taxes you pay because you live in a country, so that the country can run. That's the type of taxes we're talking about. Custom are those tolls and fees, you know, like when you go across Bellevue Bridge. That's custom. Fear, though, is to hold something in honor, to give respect, to have awe for. There are parts of our government, there are parts of our lives around us that we owe their due fear. And honors due. That's to esteem somebody, to honor, to prize, to appreciate. We owe appreciation to some people. See, we have a duty not only to pay our taxes, but to give proper respect and honor to all men. Take a look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 17. 1 Peter 2 verse 17 says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." We give honor to those who rule over us. We give honor to our president or whoever happens to be the leaders of our country or our area. But notice it says that we also give honor or respect to all men. How do you do that? See, that's what manners are about. Those common courtesies that become very uncommon. That's what we do when we honor people. See, we give honor to our bosses. Well, after all, they do give us our paycheck. In Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 5, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ." Paul tells us we work for the ones we work for as if we're working for Christ himself directly. And we give them the respect because of the position they're in. And it's not just because they're such nice people for giving us a job. In 1 Peter chapter 2, going back to that passage again, in verse 18, it says, "Servant, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." Even if you have the most atrocious boss in the world, you give him honor. You give him respect. Because after all, he is your boss. We also have respect for our leaders, as we mentioned already in 17, in that passage before. The ones who rule over us. You run across the mayor, you be polite to him. You give him honor. You run across the governor of the state, you give him honor. You run across the president, you give him honor. Because of the position that they hold. It doesn't matter whether you agree with them in their politics or not. That's not in consideration here. In fact, if you think about it, the government that Paul's underneath, or Peter's underneath in this case, is the Roman government, which was not known for its kind treatment of Christians, and was prophesied to become quite a bit worse as time went on. We're also owed or due to give honor to our parents. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and so that you may live long on the earth. Here's a command with a promise, that we as when we're children to honor our parents. And when we're adults, we still give respect to our parents. You know, think about it. When we talk about, you know, children being respectful of their parents, or us being respectful to our boss. So there's different levels of, you know, obedience and disobedience. See, I could be totally disobedient, not doing what I'm told. But I could also be obedient without honor. That, in other words, I do things, but I do it grudgingly because I have to. Or I can give obedience with honor. Doing it willingly, without grumbling. When we talk about honoring, you know, the servants that lead the country, whether we're honoring our bosses, whether we're honoring our parents, when we talk about that, part of it is how we behave, what we do. Another way that we can give honor or do honor to people, Leviticus 19. In verse 32, it says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Now notice how God puts that. Your respect to those who are older reflects your respect for God himself. The custom at that time was when an older person walked into a room, everybody got up. Used to be a custom here in this country, too. Kind of died out. But that's giving honor, that's giving respect. So we got, you know, that's something is we owe people. Why do we give respect to older people? Well, they've got some wisdom. Maybe they'll impart some to us. But simply because they've lived a long life and they deserve some respect. Now, if we go and talk about the fact that one of the verses we read said that people were going to become insulting. Well, tact is the opposite of being insulting. Tact is how we talk. Not only just what we do, but also how we say things. In Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 6. It says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Speech just well seasoned with grace. How much time do you spend thinking about how you're going to say something? How that what you're saying is going to be received by somebody else? It's something we ought to think about because we're trying to influence a world that doesn't want to listen to Christianity. in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Now, every once in a while I get to work with a bunch of teenagers. They have occasions to put their foot in their mouth. Well, I didn't mean for them to take it that way. Well, how else were you going to mean for them to take it? See, a lot of times it may sound like it's fun to put somebody else down. Oh, I'm just teasing. But politeness actually says we build other people up. We make other people feel good that they've had a conversation with us. Not to tear somebody else down. No corrupt talk. No unwholesome words. But rather words that give grace to other people. See, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, jumping over to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 12, says, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consumes him. And over in Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 21, it says, the wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to the one who has it. But the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. This is the type of way that we are to interact with other people. We make people better for having conversed with us, having talked with us. And we do that through persuasive, pleasant words. But you know, there's another way that we can show respect, and it's not even just whether we do something or whether we talk in a, you know, a nice way. Have you even thought about your dress? How you dress reflects your respect for other people. Take a look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 11. This is in the middle of a parable, but the parable says, but when the king came in to look in over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he gets quite upset. Here's a guy who comes to a wedding and he's not dressed up. Well, think about it. If you went to a wedding, showed up in cut-off shorts and sandals, plus it's on a beach someplace, probably be looked down on because you're not showing respect to the bride and groom. That's why we dress up. Not to show off, but to show respect for the person that we're there to honor. In fact, you can see that in the way Peter acted. Peter was at work. He was working as a fisherman. As a fisherman, he was stripped down in his work. In verse 7, it says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he is stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. I always found that fascinating. Usually you don't put clothes on to jump into the water. But it was out of respect for the Lord that Peter put his cloak on because he wanted to be presentable to show his respect for the one he's talking to. Now, what he was wearing for working with other fishermen probably was fine for, you know, among fishermen, but it wasn't presentable for greeting somebody who he honored. In fact, if you look at the part of women's apparel in 1 Timothy chapter 2, many of us know this passage, but 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 9, it says, "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, with not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather as a means of good work, which is proper for women making a claim for godliness." That word for modest there is clothing that is respectful in the sight of others. It's showing your respect for other people. In other words, when you go someplace, you think about how you show them proper honor and proper respect. When I worked for a company, they had laid out rules about what do you wear when you go to visit a customer. Why? Because you're showing respect for them. You wanted to make a good impression on them. Why should it be any different? We should do that in all our lives. Think about how we are making an impression on the people we are visiting and seeing. For that matter, how you greet somebody is a way of showing respect. See, when the disciples were sent out in Luke chapter 10 and in verse 5, Luke chapter 10, verse 5, says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. When you go someplace, you give proper greeting. You show your appreciativeness that somebody lets you into their house. Hosts then were also to show greetings when the guest arrives. Take it down to chapter 10, verse 38. And now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Here's a fine example. She made him feel welcome that he came into her house. That's proper respect. See, the love that we are to show for one another is shown in our welcomes. Take a look at Romans 16. Paul was writing a letter to the Romans. In verse 16, he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches greet you." Churches of Christ greet you. There should be warm welcomes. There should be greetings. It should be a pleasure to come across other Christians, to be able to let other people know that we were thinking of them. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 21, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus." Or in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you all who are in Christ." All these are greetings, and these are just a few. Take note of how often greetings are expressed. You know, think about it. Somebody comes over to your house, and the kids sit there like lumps on the log. Don't even take notice that somebody walked in the door, consumed by their video game or whatever else is going on. Is that person made welcome? Is that person shown respect? In fact, Jesus scolded Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7 because of his lack of greeting. Luke chapter 7 and in verse 36, it says, now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she had learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought him an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. He said, a moneylender had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii and the other 50, and when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them loved him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, that her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Simon had a guest over. He invited him, but he didn't give him the common courtesies that were done in that culture. In that culture, we didn't have paved streets. It was dirt roads. People didn't have solid shoes. They usually had open-toed sandals. Somebody comes into your house, you offer them water to wash their feet. Minimum. That was just a polite thing to do. You gave them greeting. Usually in that time, it was in the form of a kiss. You welcomed them in your house. Simon did none of these things. And for that, he was scolded. There's another way we can give proper respect to other people and be polite. That's listening. You know, when Jesus was 12, even though I'm sure he knew far more about the law than any of the scholars of that day, I want you to notice that in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 46, it says, after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. He was polite with them. He listened to what they said. Asked them questions about it, showing that he was listening. Drawing out further things. You know, there's a lot of distraction in the world that keeps people from truly listening to other people. In Luke chapter 10, and in verse 39, Martha had the Lord over in her house with her sister Mary. Verse 39 says, she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to the words, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. We lose track of what's really important when we allow ourselves to be distracted by the world. A lot of times we try having conversations and we're not really listening. Today is music, it's text messages, social networks, games. All those things compete for our attentions. And too many people just can't put those things down and converse. See, James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Of course, how you treat other people is also part of respect. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Treat others the same way that you want them to treat you. We were talking about this in our Bible class this morning in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have you ever noticed, I was over in Singapore, I noticed they had signs all over the place saying, please give up your seat for the elderly. Give up your seat for the ladies that have children. Give up your seat for those who are injured. That's politeness. That's treating others better than yourselves. You see somebody with a burden, you help them. Why we leave the pews open for the, you know, the ones that have the small kids or the ones that can't move as easily so that they can have ready access. It's politeness. It's why a husband gives his wife his jacket when she's cold. It's politeness. It's why you give somebody a hand when you see them with a load. Is not putting ourselves first. Take a look at Luke chapter 14. Luke 14 and verse 8. It says, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who's invited you both will come and say to you, give up your place for this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you're invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, if we continue on in that passage, Jesus then moves into the topic of hospitality. In verse 12, he also went on to say to one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Hospitality is the idea of having a love for strangers. Love for people you do not know. That you're about to meet. When we have love for other people, we ought to have it without regard to who they are or what benefit they might give to me. We love them for who they are. And simply because we like people. See, true hospitality also has no reason to complain. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. It's like that, you know, well, I can be obedient without honor. I have to. I can be hospitable without honoring somebody else too. I can feel like I'm forced into it and look at all the work I have to go through just to have somebody over. But hospitality is supposed to be without complaint. It's because we respect other people. We honor them. And it's a pleasure to have them in our house and to serve them. In fact, it's the idea of contentment. And if you're a guest, Take a look again in John, Luke chapter 10, this time verses 7 and 8. Luke 10, verse 7 and 8. Here again, Jesus is instructing disciples. He says, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house, whatever city you enter, and they receive you. Eat what is set before you. We have a hard time training our kids to do that. But it's the practices for when they go someplace else. Now, when I was overseas a couple of months, there were some dishes I never tried before. And a few of them I probably won't be too unhappy if I don't try them again. But you don't complain. You eat what's set before you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says a very similar thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 27. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. Don't interrogate them about what they've made for you. Just put before you, eat it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, if it's, you got health reasons, you got allergies or something. But you take whatever's going. That's contentment. That's being polite to your host, being a guest. In fact, Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 4. We often read this, but, you know, think about this in terms of politeness. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I hear, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with the humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, sometimes we go someplace and it's the chair that they give us is not that comfortable. It's not a reason to complain. Be content to the fact that they had you over. Maybe it's not the cleanest place and it's kind of smells. That doesn't matter. They had you over. Treat them with honor. Treat them with respect. Because complaining is a discourtesy. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in verse 10. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul's talking about something that happened while they're wandering in the wilderness. How many times did the Israelites complain to God who was taking care of them? It's impolite. They end up dead. We probably won't get killed by our hosts. But complaining is impolite. It's not proper when someone is taking care of you. And complaining dims our lights. Again, in Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you appear as lights in the world. Notice how it starts out. Your light dims when you start complaining and grumbling. That's what everybody else in the world does. We show respect for other people. And we should show gratitude. We have that as our scripture reading. In Luke chapter 17, when the lepers were cleansed, only one came back. And Jesus said, where are the nine? Luke 17, verses 14 through 17. There was a lack of gratitude when somebody did you something as a favor. We ought to say thank you to people. Even for the little things they do. It's nothing more than holding the door open. they did some favor for you, we ought to thank them. In fact, the sign of the King days is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And goes on. Falling apart of society when people are no longer thankful when other people do them kindness. It's simple courtesy to thank people who've done you favors. That's why your parents make you write those thank you notes out. Seems like a chore, but it's actually learning to be thankful, to be grateful. Now, the world may seem rude, but we're to be shining lights. We need to mind our manners. We need to impart those onto our children. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. We should be above the world in this matter. I hope you think about those things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, would like the prayers of your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song of those selected.